إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى in Surah Ash-Shura he said إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said except the one who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a healthy heart, with a pure heart. The reason I mentioned that is because as a culmination of the series on dhikr which we have been doing, the purpose of dhikr is to do something about the heart, is to clean the heart. The heart, the qalb, is in Islam, it is not simply the organ which pumps blood. The qalb is the seat of intellect and emotion together. It's the seat of intellect and emotion. It's the seat of thinking and feeling. The artificial separation of head and heart, the artificial separation of thinking and feeling that is done in Western psychology is not correct. It's artificial, as I said, it's artificial. Actually, we think and feel together. So it's the qalb is what does that, which is thinking and feeling together, intellect and emotion together. The reason I mentioned that is also because yesterday I saw somebody sent me a video about this person who he's a bodybuilder, and unlike most bodybuilders, he doesn't have these big muscles. A slim guy, but you can see every muscle is like a rope. And he was doing exercises on the bar, and literally he was holding the bar with one hand, and his whole body he would revolve around this thing just by holding it with one hand. Now imagine the power in that wrist alone. Just the wrist and forearm is supporting his entire body. I watched that thing for the duration of that video, and I thought to myself that I can't even do what he is doing on the bar. I can't even do standing on the ground. And then I thought to myself, how many hours of training, how many uncounted hours of training must have gone into giving him that kind of body, into making his body so powerful and so strong, and giving his muscles such fantastic control. How many hours and hours and hours of training would have gone into that? And then I thought to myself, that all of that training is for a body which is going to perish. I'm not saying one must not do that. Body is also an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is important for us to look after our bodies and not allow the body just to, you know, go to seed. But the heart is also an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how much of effort are we putting on the heart? On the qalb, on the body we put all this effort. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the mercy of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make the qalb visible. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the qalb physically visible, what would we do? I ask myself, what would my qalb look like? Would I want anyone to even see what is the form of my qalb, what has happened to my qalb in all the years that I have lived? Is it a pot-bellied qalb which looks like a pregnant cow? Is it a qalb which is, you know, dark and dingy and miserable? Is it stinking, full of desires, full of shahwat? Is it a qalb which is bleeding from the blood of oppressing people? What kind of qalb is it? Or is it a qalb which is pure, which emanates the light of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What kind of qalb is it? I certainly know mine is not that one. That much I can say with complete confidence. May Allah forgive me. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hide that qalb always, inshallah. But the point is that that qalb is hidden. My qalb is hidden from you, but it's not hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the state of this qalb that we are taking to Allah? And when we spend hours and hours and hours working on the body, then not only do we get a beautiful body, but everybody praises it and they say, oh, mashallah, see how much of effort this person puts in and how physically fit he is. And they put you up as an icon for people to follow. But what about the qalb? How much, it is not rocket science, it's just you can measure it. How many minutes or hours a day do we spend on our heart? In the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in tilawatil Quran, in reflection. Today even the deen has become noise. Even religious education has become noise. Big conferences, one big tamasha, one big show, this speaker, that speaker, this billboard, that billboard. What is the difference between a pop concert and a religious conference today, except for the names are different. And there is no nakedness. Women are wearing hijab, men have beards. What else is different? Tell me. Same stages, same strobe lights, same huge conference centers. Literally the same conference center is then next day used for a music concert. I mean, they don't have special Islamic conference centers. So even the education of deen has become noise. People organizing the conferences are worried more about the amount of money they make out of that conference. Otherwise, ask me, why do you invite? Why do certain people get invited? What is the basis of inviting people? Are you inviting so-and-so and so-and-so because of that person's zuhud, because of that person's, you know, closeness to Allah? Wallahu alam, we don't know that, but we think so. Our husn is done about the person. Or because this person has this great presence in the world and this person has all these fans on Facebook. And this person has all these followers. What is the reason you invite? Ask your own heart. You don't have to justify to me. I'm saying ask your own heart. Why are you inviting so and so and so and so? Because for us, our traditional ulama are not sexy enough, you know. You don't want to go sit with that alim who's, you know, wearing a white kurta pajama, sitting quietly in one place. But that man, wallah alam, of course, as I said, I don't make a comment on who is how close to Allah. Allah knows that. But from looking at them from their lives, from the sunnah in their lives, from the Quran and seerah in their lives, they are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except that they don't know, they don't have an iPad and they don't have an Android phone and they don't have an iPhone and they are not on Facebook and so on. So you won't even go close to them. You want all these sexy shuyukh. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Islam has become noise. Where is the space in our Islam for silence? Where is the space in our Islam for khilwa, by being quiet by yourself? Where is the space in our Islam for zuhud? Where is the place in our Islam for fasting? Where is the place in our Islam for controlling our nafs? That is the gym of the heart. That is the gym of the heart. The fancy conference is the disco of the heart. It's not the gym of the heart. That is the halal fun. That's the disco of the heart. I'm not saying they are haram. By all means, do that. But that's not going to get you anywhere close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe me. Getting close to Allah, cleaning the heart, purifying the heart, is something to be done by yourself, alone, with zikr. With zikr, with reflection, with thinking. It's hard work. It brings tears to the eyes. If you are not crying, something is wrong with you. Something is seriously wrong with your heart. When was the last time that tears came into your heart because of some kalam of Allah which you read? Which ayat brings tears to your eyes? Can you imagine? You're desolate. That the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not bring tears to your eyes. What kind of a Islam is this? Go read the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this quality Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Isra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are people who go in sujood and they cry in sujood. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu read this ayah and he said, we make sujood but we don't cry. Who is saying that? The man who is saying that, he is known so many narrations where in Salatul Fajr when he is reciting Quran, Sayyidina Umar sometimes would cry so much that people would hear him in the last saf of the masjid. He is not satisfied with that. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they go in sujood, quality of the muttaqoon. They go in sujood and they cry. Sayyidina Umar says, we go in sujood but we do not cry. So when was the last time you cried? I'm not bothered. The fact that the eyes do not cry for the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not bother you. This is the state of the heart. And as I said, it is the mercy of Allah. Allah has not made this heart visible. Otherwise, we are quick to point fingers at other people. We are quick to pick the faults of other people. Real faults or imaginary faults. Even if the person did not do anything, we imagine he did something. Very quick. Immediately find fault. A person can do a million good things, doesn't register. One wrong thing, you think it is your duty in deen before Allah to point out that one thing. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. This is our state. And we think this is deen, this is Islam. So when are we going to look at our hearts? The thing to do therefore is to concentrate on this. Spend time with yourself, quietly by yourself. Go sit in a corner in a room. Put off all the phones, everything. Take one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make zikr on this, think about this. Reflect on it. What is it doing to my heart? If it does not do anything to your heart, don't move from there. Let the whole day pass. Imagine, even if the whole day passes, only 24 hours. If 2 or 3 hours pass, it's 2 or 3 hours is less time than most of you spend in front of Facebook, so what's the big deal? Tell yourself, I will not move from this place except for Salah, I will do nothing except thinking about what is the state of my heart. Just like that man built a body by working hours and hours and hours in the gym, it takes that kind of time to build the heart also. That body will perish. That heart will go with you. Your spirit, your ruh, your qalb is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the importance therefore of doing zikr. The importance of doing zikr with istiqamat, of doing zikr regularly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the house once and said, Aisha radiallahu anha had one of her friends who was sitting with her, an elderly lady, and Sayyid Aisha introduced her to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, she worships all night. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tell her that it is better she does less, but she does it regularly. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes those deeds which are done regularly without a break. So worshipping all night might be fine. Maybe you will do it a couple of times, but obviously nobody can do that on a regular basis. So the azkar that we do, let us make a niyyah that we will do these without a gap, without a break. Always. Whatever you do, it regularly every single day, no matter what. Whether you are tired, you are not tired, you are not traveling, whatever. What you do on a daily basis must be done irrespective of whatever else is happening. That is the key to success. That is the key to success. Doing it with istiqamat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us istiqamat, to give us steadfastness, to give us regularity in what we do, and to give us barakah in it, and to then be pleased with it, and to cover us with His mercy and His forgiveness, so that what we do has value,
And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.